whatever you prefer to do. We have been going in the mornings, we've been going through St. Matt's values, and they're the values that will appear on the website. And so far we've been through these ones: the presence of God, worship of God, God's word, God's spirit, and love, which Hannah spoke about last week. And so we've disappeared. those values, which are coming up again, hopefully. There we go. And so we've spent each week looking at one of those. But it's unfortunate, very unfortunate, that these values in themselves are hopeless in the biblical sense. Absolutely hopeless. And you're probably going through your mind now that Bob's criticizing what we're doing, what we have. He's criticizing our values, and that's just not right. But for those of you who watch the program Miranda, bear with. We'll see where we're going. In our prayer times in the mornings, Mary and I have begun reading through 1 Peter together. And on Wednesday, part of chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, we read this together. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. Never perish, never spoil, never fade, and it's kept in heaven for us. And what is that certainty? Where does that certainty come from? That certainty is the hope in the Bible. So when I say that these values are hopeless in themselves, I am telling you that in a biblical sense. And the hope in the Bible, the certainty in the Bible, is there for all to read and to have. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It's something we can hang on to all the time, but those values in themselves are biblically hopeless. And what makes them full of hope is, as you can see, the cross. Then I'm so glad that the leadership team put the cross at the bottom of the list, because it's the foundation of all those other values. The cross, or as I would put it, the cross is the key. If you could press another button for me, we should have it coming up, is the key. Go again. That's it. The cross is the key to all of our lives and all of these values that makes them full of the hope of the Bible. The cross, the crucifixion. There were so many crucifixions during the Roman occupation. In the first century AD, they still continued. But this one crucifixion that I'm talking about is different, because it refers to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, God the Son. It's the crucifixion that makes the difference between my right sock and my left sock that my daughter bought me for Christmas. If you want to know any more about that, you'll have to see me afterwards. The key, the cross is the key. Without the cross, let's go through these values one at a time, what they would be without the cross. We would find ourselves condemned. What about the presence, the awesome nature of the Almighty God, the all-present, the all-knowing, holy God? If we were to try and enter into his presence without the cross, we would be totally destroyed. Worship. It would be of a far-off, impersonal God, somewhere up there in heaven where we can't go. It would demand continuing sacrifices from the Old Testament in an attempt to assuage his wrath. That is not what God wants for us. the word. We'd be stuck in that Old Testament law of God, which is impossible to keep in its fullness. And so we'd come under the penalty of the law, separation from God, from his blessing and protection, just like the people of Israel. John pointed out that we mustn't separate the word and the spirit. So what about the spirit? Well, Chris referred to John chapter 16 and verse 8. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. And also referred to Romans 8, verse 15. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Without the cross, we're slaves to fear. Without the cross, we cannot get rid of that guilt that comes from knowing a holy God, because we fall so far short ourselves. What about love that Hannah spoke? Love your neighbor as yourself. You know, we can't do that alone. Why? Because our natural inclination is self-preservation. Without the cross, it leads to selfishness and sin. And Hannah referred to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 last week. We love because he first loved us, and his love is shown supremely in the cross. So without the cross, all of these things fall short. But with the cross, they're filled with fullness of biblical hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 that I referred to. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope. And then he goes on, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. With the cross, we can come into the presence of God, not just as humans, but as Romans 8:15 said, you receive the spirit of sonship. By him, we call him Abba, Father. Because of the cross, we come to God, who is our Father. Without the cross, he's far away. With the cross, we're in relationship with him. Worship. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth, is what Jesus said. We come to God as sons, worshipping him in his presence, full of his spirit that he's given us, and full of the truth that he brings to us, which brings us on to word. In the beginning this morning, the reading, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 to 4. For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. It's of first importance. And then it goes on, according to the scriptures, God's word affirms what he has done for us in the cross, that he was buried, that he was raised again on the third day, according to the scriptures again. You know, a death is essential. Without the cross, there is no death, and death is essential. I just finished reading a book in which the author says that the Galilean, that's how he refers to Jesus, was alive when he was taken down from the cross, and then still alive when he was removed from the tomb. That's a fallacy. There was a centurion at the foot of the cross. And when he looked at Jesus, he wanted to make sure that he was dead. So he took a spear, or a javelin, actually it was, and thrust it into his side to make sure he was dead. Now that centurion had been, or centurions had been at crucifixions many, many times. They didn't make mistakes. And if they did make a mistake and the person taken down was still alive, then that centurion would take his place, and he wasn't going to risk that. Jesus was dead. And without a death, you can't have a resurrection. And if there's no resurrection, then those verses in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians become true. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Without that death, without the cross, we're still in our sins and our faith is futile. That's why I could say those values are hopeless without the cross. But with the cross, they are a certainty. We've talked about the Spirit already. What about love? Hannah said last week, this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his only son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. That's the key. But as you can see on the screen, it's not just the key, it's the kickstart. It doesn't end there. When we come to the cross, when we ask God's forgiveness, when we believe and trust in Jesus, we come into his presence, we're adopted as his children, but we still then have to live it out. Wouldn't it be odd if our children were born and then they never grew? They never matured. And it's the same with us. When we have that new birth, we need to mature, we need to grow. Again, from this reading, this morning's reading, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. If it's only for that point, then we're to be pitied. It's for our life and beyond this life, to our life in eternity. Paul writes in Romans 8, I know Chris said it's one of his favourite chapters. It's one of my favourite chapters as well. Verses 24 and 25 this time. For in this hope, there it is again, this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. We can't see it, but we've got to believe it. That's where faith comes in. For who hopes what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. You see, when we come to the cross, we're waiting for something else. We're waiting to be taken to be in his presence. And between then and now, we've got to live out our faith, our belief, our hope, our certainty, and come to the cross and move on through the cross. It's an ongoing lifestyle. Jesus said, flesh gives birth to flesh. Well, we know that, don't we? But the Spirit gives birth to the Spirit. You must be born again. We must start again, but not stay at that point. We need to live our lives out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, again, he has given us new birth into a living hope. You see, it's not just a once-off hope, it's a continual living hope that we live out through the cross. What about the presence? Again, let's go through these. Jesus said, John 14, verse 18, I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you, and on that day you will realize that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. He goes on later on, remain in me, and I will remain in you. The context there is the vine and the branches. The vine is living, the branches need to continue to live. You and I need to continue to be fixed in Christ, not as orphans, but as adopted children. With God's presence in us and around us. Worship, Romans 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. There it is again, living it out, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. As we live our lives, God is pleased and blesses. And it's our act of worship, not just singing songs, but living out the truth. Living the cross. What about word? John 14, verse 15. If you love me, said Jesus, you will obey my command. That's a continuing thing. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. We live out love in our lives. God's love for us. And through that, our love for our neighbor, our friends, and our enemies, and for one another. Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. The context there is the fruit of the Spirit, but what I'm bringing out is we need to keep in step with the Spirit. And the Spirit is moving, and we need to keep in step and move on. It's a bit like God's army. You ever seen an army that marches and one person's out of step? It looks a mess. There's also an opportunity for the sergeant to put him in the guardhouse. There are times when we have to break step. For safety's sake, if we're marching over a bridge, an army has to break step in order that the bridge doesn't vibrate. And sometimes God wants us to move out on our own in the Spirit. But normally we'll be marching in the Spirit together, encouraging one another, supporting one another, being with one another. Love. Jesus said this, a new commandment I give you, love one another. As I, says Jesus, have loved you, so you must love one another. as Jesus loves us, we need to love one another. And it comes through the cross again. That's where God showed his love. That's where we receive God's love. And that's in that power that we live out the fruit of the Spirit, part of which is love to one another and to our neighbor. This is how God showed his love among us, says John. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. You see, that kickstart is there to live on. And so those values then make sense. And they're values we need to live together. But we can't do it without constantly coming to the point of the cross where we acknowledge what God has done for us and each one of us, for me. Now, I've cleared all this with Chris before I spoke. And I've cleared this prayer, which is a prayer statement, a commitment as well. I'll give you a chance to read it. And what I've cleared with Chris is this, that if any of you want to affirm all or part of that, and I don't want you to stand because the person next to you stands, but if you feel able to affirm and to say with me either part or all of this, then please stand now. So let's say those parts of this that we feel able to together. I affirm these values for our church and own them for myself as the underlying foundation of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We pray, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, send your Holy Spirit that those of us who have affirmed this in our lives and for our church may live it out here in this world as we wait patiently for the return of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to sing again now, and part of this song is Thank You for the Cross. I hope we'll be able to sing this not just with our mouths, but with our hearts and our spirits as well.